Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. More pets means more pet health care. Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Wednesday, May 6th, 2026, for our Pets article for the month of May. It is a two-day article called Lasers for Kitty. A rise in pet ownership leads to a wider variety of healthcare options. And I love the title of our article, Lasers for Kitty. I think we're going to have fun with this one. I think it's also got some interesting ideas here about pet ownership, in addition to healthcare for pets, the whole increased role that pets are playing in the lives of a lot of people nowadays. So we'll talk about that. We'll read through the article. We'll cover the English, talk about the English, give you a chance to practice your English. And when I say we, of course, I do mean myself and my co-panelist joining us for both days. Please welcome to the studio, Rhonda.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be here. I know that you are a lover of your pet. I'm sure you'll talk about it. So it's going to be fun to be on this panel with you today.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this one. And it's true, I do have a pet. We have a dog. She is a rescue dog, so we're not entirely sure of the breed. She's a mixed breed, and we believe she is at least partly miniature Doberman Pinscher. The other part is Taiwan dog, but part is miniature Doberman Pinscher, or just miniature Pinscher. If you think of a Doberman Pinscher, you're thinking of a kind of a tall black dog with black pointy ears, kind of dramatic looking, kind of, you've probably seen them in movies. They're usually the bad guy's dog, or they're the guard dogs at the secret military base that the heroes have to distract or deal with in some way. That's a Doberman Pinscher. Now just take that dog and make it about half as big, and you've got a miniature Pinscher. So they still have the same sort of fierce look, but they're so much smaller that the fierceness translates into cuteness.
I could not imagine you with a fierce dog, so I'm glad that you... I'll be over to visit.
Good, good.
I would have been afraid otherwise.
You should meet her. But Rhonda, have you ever had a pet?
Well, raising four children, we did have, I will call it a series of pets. We never had a dog, but my son John, who is known to many in Studio Classroom, had a cockatiel. A bird that he wanted to teach to talk. And he
did he teach it to talk?
I think it learned to say hello. It was not. Sadly, the cockatiel, John took it out on the porch. He was just a boy, about 10. He took it out on the porch. And even though it had its wings clipped so it wouldn't fly away, a gust of wind came along. It lifted its wings and off it went.
Oh, dear.
So the cockatiel was lost. Her name was Gloria. So anyway, and I was a mother who I ran around the neighborhood saying, "Has anyone seen a cockatiel in their yard?" So we have some pet stories, but Peter, you are the one who would really understand this article because you've taken care of your dog very well and for a long time. So I think you'll have the most insights, but I am glad to discuss this article with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here to discuss it, Rhonda. I didn't know about the cockatiel. That's interesting. And I also did have another pet when I was closer to John's age at the time of the cockatiel. When I was about that age, we had a family dog. It was a bloodhound. That's the breed with the big long ears. And when they put their head down to the ground to sniff something, they have all this extra skin that like falls down over their eyes and wrinkles in everything. Bloodhounds are the ones, we talked about the Doberman Pinschers are like the fierce guard dogs, but bloodhounds are the ones that they use to track the escaped convicts or the refugees of some sort. If you've seen a bloodhound in a movie, you've seen them tracking because they are great trackers. They can, from a simple, scrap of clothing, they can use their incredible noses to find and to lead the police or the trackers to whomever it is that they're trying to catch. So talking about healthcare options today for pets, for birds and dogs, whatever pet you might have, we will read through our article and learn some English and think a little bit more about our pets and about pet ownership in general. So with no further ado, let's go into our first reading now.
Lasers for Kitty. A rise in pet ownership leads to a wider variety of healthcare options. Ruffian, the champion show cat, reclined on a fur pillow, wearing tiny protective goggles to shield his eyes from the laser therapy being used to treat his inflamed joints. Veterinary physiotherapist Carrie Kilgannon hovered a laser wand over Ruffian's hips while using a dangling cat treat to bribe the supine feline into submission. After laser therapy, Kilgannon worked Ruffian's sore muscles in a specialty massage as soothing spa music created a zen-like atmosphere. There are no thermometers in butts at this veterinary experience. At Walking Paws Rehab in Boulder and Denver, Colorado, pets are treated to holistic and conventional rehabilitation services to help them recover from injuries. If pets need orthotics, prosthetics, or a wheelchair, Walking Paws Rehab can help. If they need diagnostic ultrasound or wound culture, Walking Paws has that covered. On the less conventional side, the rehab also offers acupuncture, whole body vibration plates, underwater treadmill therapy, exercise routines, weight loss programs, and even hot stone massages.
Okay, so right at the beginning of our section here, we meet a champion show cat. And a champion show cat means a cat, or you could have a champion show dog as well. It means a cat or a dog that has been shown in competitions. Competitions for who's the best cat or the second best cat or dog or anything. And if a cat or a dog has won a certain number of those competitions, they are referred to as champion. It's a legitimate part of their name, at least in competitive circles. And so this is no ordinary house cat. This is a champion show cat named Ruffian. I love that name, Rhonda, don't you?
I love that name. A ruffian is someone who's lives on the streets and gets in a lot of fights with their fish, with their fists, not with their fish.
Or possibly with their fish as well, depending on the temperament.
Okay, Peter, you ruffian.
I know.
Peter, no, it's a word we often joke around with. You're almost, you think of the word rough. So it's a funny name, a cute name for a cat that is treated with great luxury.
Right.
You don't think of the name ruffian for a fancy cat who lies on a fur pillow. You think of ruffian for a dog roaming the streets. But this cute name for this elegant cat.
Yeah, it's in deliberate, the name is in deliberate contrast to the nature of the creature that has the name, a champion show cat named Ruffian. And Ruffian is reclining on a fur pillow wearing tiny protective goggles. Reclining simply means to lie down on something, to relax, lower your body onto something. On the fur pillow, wearing tiny protective goggles. Those are like glasses, basically, but usually worn not to help you see better, but just to protect your eyes. Like swimmers wear goggles when they're competitive swimmers, when they're swimming or practicing to protect their eyes from getting too much chlorine from the pool in them. But Rhonda, why is Ruffian reclining and wearing the protective goggles?
The goggles are to shield his eyes while he gets laser therapy being used to treat his inflamed joints. Inflammation, inflamed, is when a part of your body is red and swollen because it's injured or infected.
Right. So We don't really know what happened to Ruffian yet, but we do know that he has inflamed joints, poor cat, and is receiving laser therapy to treat those joints. And then in the next paragraph, we meet the laser therapy administrator, as it were, a person named Kerry Kilgannon. She is a veterinary physiotherapist. Oh, there's a lot of syllables. Veterinary physiotherapist. Rhonda, can you help break that down for us?
Sure. Veterinary means relating to the medical care of animals. A veterinarian is the doctor who takes care of animals. The physiotherapist part, of course, we know the word therapist. Physio, think physical, so treating muscle pains, joints, etc. So this is a specialized medical person, a veterinary physiotherapist. And she's hovering, excuse me, I don't know if it's she or he, I apologize, hovering, just floating over the top, not touching, but over it, hovering a wand over Ruffian's hips. And a lot else is going on there.
Right, yeah. To hover, just in this case, we sometimes think of a hummingbird or perhaps a bee,
yes,
hovering over a flower.
Yes.
Means not really flying, but not landing either, just sort of suspended in space, moving slightly. And that's what the way it's being used here is to describe the movement of this laser wand, that it is hovering over Ruffian's hips. So it's sort of moving gently back and forth, like you might with a hairdryer when you're drying your hair. You might say that the dryer hovered over her head as she dried her hair with it. So in this case, the wand, the laser wand, hovering over Ruffian's hips while using a dangling cat treat to bribe the supine feline into submission. Mm. I love that rhyme, supine feline.
Yeah.
But Rhonda, what does it mean?
Well, supine means to lay on your back. When I first learned that word, and it is a difficult word even for native speakers to learn, to remember what it means, someone said, think of spine. Mm. Take out the U, and you will remember that supine means to lay on your spine.
Spine. Yeah.
So that was helpful to me when I first learned that vocab word when I was probably a teenager. So she's holding I keep saying she. Do we know if this is a male or female doctor?
Yeah, I don't think Mr. or Mrs. Kilgannon's gender is specified.
We will say doctor.
As we see.
My apologies to our listeners. Dr. Kilgannon is dangling, holding above Ruffian this bribe. And to say supine feline is part of the fun writing in this article.
Yeah.
The cat on its back is what she's saying.
Right,
but
feline being another word for a cat.
Yeah. This is a very elegant way to describe the way this cat is lying down.
Right. And if it was a dog, we would say canine, the supine canine. For dogs, it has to do with the Latin scientific term for the species that is a dog or a cat. And the English form of it is feline for cats, canine for dogs. So after the laser therapy and the hovering wand, Dr. Kilgannon worked Ruffian's sore muscles in a specialty massage as soothing spa music created a zen-like atmosphere. A zen-like atmosphere, meaning an atmosphere of calm and quiet and peace, a zen. That's what's meant by a zen-like atmosphere. And so the author, like you said, having a little fun with the writing, wants to contrast this particular form of health pet care to more conventional veterinary experiences. And how does she do it, Rhonda, in that next line?
You're going to make me say this next line, Peter.
I am.
Well, she's saying, it's different from a veterinary experience where the doctor would just perhaps rather roughly or quickly put a thermometer in the rear end of the cat.
Right, or the dog to determine the temperature. And even small children, small human children, will sometimes have their temperature taken that way before they've learned to take the thermometer orally in the mouth. But I think I can speak as a former child myself. No one really enjoys this.
Sure.
Humans, cats, or dogs.
If we're going to talk about the medical terms, it's a rectal thermometer.
Rectal, yes. Thank you. We're all adults here. There is a name for it.
So,
rectal thermometer, yes. So this is introducing the next sort of section within our section about how pets are treated at the Walking Paws Rehab in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. And pets are treated to holistic and conventional rehabilitation services to help them recover from injuries. Rhonda, what does holistic mean?
Well, the whole person, the body and the feeling. So this, obviously, this cat, as we've just read about, is being helped to relax and to get the physical treatment. You know, holistic has often confused me as a native speaker because it does have to do with the W-H-O-L-E person. Peter, can you explain to me, this native speaker, why holistic doesn't have a W?
Oh, I wish I could, Rhonda. There are many things I know, but one thing I don't know is why the word holistic does not have the W on it. And that's because holistic medicine, holistic treatment, treats the whole person. But when we say the whole person, we spell whole, W-H-O-L-E. There should be a W on holistic, but there is not, just one of the many ways English is often challenging to learn, even for native speakers. But the point being that there are a more conventional rehabilitation service, a rehabilitation meaning to help someone recover or an animal recover from an injury or an illness some way to rehabilitate them. There's both holistic and conventional. Holistic, like we said, meaning treating the whole person, not just the site of the injury itself, which would be the conventional approach to injury treatment. You have a cut, you put a Band-Aid on it. A holistic treatment might be you still put a Band-Aid on it, but you also create a nice environment in which to put that Band-Aid on. You create, you treat the whole person, their emotions, and their other sort of body parts, well, not their body parts, but just a way that is not just specific to the injury site like conventional medicine. And it expands on this in the next paragraph. If pets need orthotics, prosthetics, or a wheelchair, walking paws can help. Orthotics, what is an orthotic, Rhonda?
Orthotic would be a device to support an injured part of the pet's body.
Right. And a prosthetic, orthotic would be like, think of a wheelchair. That is something that helps the body to function in some way. A prosthetic is an actual artificial limb. When you've lost an arm or a leg or even just a hand or a foot, a prosthetic means an artificially made, man-made replacement limb or hand or leg or foot or whatnot. And also, if your pet needs diagnostic ultrasound, in which sound waves are used to examine the body and determine what's wrong, or wound culture, walking paws also has that covered. Wound culture, when you take a little tiny sample from a wound and look at it under a microscope to determine if there's anything causing an infection in the wound itself. That's wound culture. Then in our final paragraph, it explores a bit of the less conventional side of pet treatment. They also offer acupuncture. They offer whole body vibration plates, which are just what it sounds like, plates that vibrate and apparently have a therapeutic effect on the body where they vibrate. And also, what's that next form of treatment, Rhonda?
Well, underwater treadmill therapy. A treadmill is that big piece of exercise equipment that you can run on while staying in one place. So an underwater treadmill therapy would be really good for your joints, the pet's joints. Exercise routines, weight loss programs. Pets can get overweight, and hot stone massages. Now, I would like one of those. That where they put the hot stones on your back?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Sounds relaxing.
Not dangerously hot, of course, but hot enough to relax you and then to make you more receptive for the massage. Well, that's the kind of treatment that you can get for your pet at Walking Paws Rehab. But now let's, for our second section, take in a bit of the bigger picture here about the rise in pet popularity. Let's go into our second reading now.
Pet popularity. I was unsure if this concept of starting a practice focusing on diagnosing injuries and pain management and physical therapy and thinking about the patient as a whole, combining traditional medicine with holistic, was going to work out, said Danielle Nguyen, owner of Walking Paws Rehab. I was unsure if it was going to be a flop. It wasn't. It took off. Wynn's practice, which opened in Boulder in 2016, has grown to 12 doctors with a new Denver location. The growth aligns with Americans' ever-increasing financial devotion to their animal companions. In 2013, Americans spent about $57.8 billion on pet expenditures, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS. By the end of 2021, that figure rose to $102.8 billion, a 78% increase in 8 years, according to the most recent BLS data. Consumers spent more on pet-related purchases than recreational reading materials, $15.2 billion, alcohol, $73.8 billion, and women's clothing, $87.9 billion. In 2020, during the financial turmoil of the pandemic, all other entertainment spending fell 7.8%. Total expenditures declined by 2.7%. Meanwhile, pet expenditures grew 1.3%.
Okay, so at the beginning of our second section here, we meet Daniel Wynn, the owner of Walking Paws Rehab, and he talks a bit about his uncertainty when he first began the rehab, whether there would be a market, whether there would be interest in having less conventional forms of pet healthcare available to people. The way he describes it there in that first paragraph, combining traditional medicine with holistic. Now, by traditional medicine there, he means conventional medicine. I know that in our Asian context, traditional medicine has a different meaning, but in the way Wynn is using the term here, he means more conventional medicine, like we were talking about earlier, rather than holistic medicine. He wasn't sure if this was going to work, if this was a viable economic idea. He wasn't sure if it was, as he says, going to be a flop, but it wasn't a flop. It took off. A flop, as you can probably tell, is something that doesn't work, something that fails rather than succeeds, but his succeeded. And he opened another practice in Boulder in 2016, which now has 12 doctors. Now, Rhonda, in the second half of our section here, it tells us that the growth of Walking Paws Rehab also connects to something else. What is that?
To Americans' increasing, ever-increasing, always getting bigger financial devotion to their animal companions. We often say, I'm devoted to my pet. I'm devoted to someone special. This is an interesting use of devotion, financial devotion.
Yes.
Using money, you know, especially using money to out of the love for your pet.
Right, right. And it's a kind of winking use of the term by the author there. Usually we talk about devotion. We're talking about just the emotions or the feelings. The author is saying here they're financial devotion, but that is a way of showing our devotion, certainly, is by spending money.
Yes, and it goes on to give a lot of statistics. That whole next paragraph is numbers, the next two paragraphs. And the basic takeaway from those next two paragraphs is that people at times were spending less on clothes, reading materials, etc. And there it says recreational reading materials. So people were spending less on books you'd read for fun, less on alcohol or women's clothing, and comparatively more on their pets.
Yeah, that was a really eye-opening bit of statistics for me personally. I had no idea that pets were quite that popular. As we see there, Americans spend about, in 2013, Americans spent about $57.8 billion on pet expenditures, just a long word that means pet expenses, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And by the end of 2021, that figure rose to $102.8 billion,
wow.
A 78% increase in 8 years. So, I mean, it's quite something, really, to think of people spending over $50 billion on pets in the first place. But the idea that just during that 8 year period, the figure nearly doubled. And so clearly this time, the 21st century, is a time when pet ownership and pet devotion seems to be increasing, at least in the United States of America. And Rhonda also pointed out in that next paragraph how people are spending more on pet-related purchases. This is not all healthcare necessarily, like what they're doing at Walking Paws Rehab, but something to do with pet, like buying pet food, buying pet toys, maybe pet housing in some way if the owner needs to be away for a few days, something like that. Pet-related purchases in general totaled to more than recreational reading materials, alcohol, and women's clothing. And then finally, in our last section, we read that in 2020, well, Rhonda, what happened in 2020?
The pandemic. And during the financial turmoil, the confusion of the pandemic, all other entertainment spending went down. It fell 7.8%. Total spending, expenditures by Americans here, declined by 2.7%. But at the same time, meanwhile, pet expenditures grew. 1.3% doesn't sound like a lot, maybe, but everything else Americans were spending less on during the pandemic.
Right. The idea that while spending on everything was going down slightly by 2.7%, nevertheless, pet expenses went against that trend. They went against the current, as we might say, and they actually grew 1.3%. And this is, again, during the financial turmoil of the pandemic when, you know, we all didn't know what was going on and we're all being a little more careful with our money. Nevertheless, even then, pet expenditures, people spending money on pets grew by 1.3%. That is quite a thought. But it is a thought that we will have to leave you to ponder until tomorrow when we will join you again, we hope, and you will join us for day two of our pets article. And we'll talk more about less conventional forms of pet healthcare and the rise of pets in the lives of at least middle class and upper class Americans, as well as working class, I imagine. But for today, we must bid you adieu. I'm Peter.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.